You have your Bible this evening and turn it over to the book of Luke with me. I was going to open my notebook to preach out of, and that's my date book. So that's going to be hard to do. So let me find what I need to find here this evening. Luke chapter number 1 is where I want to go this evening. And I just want to read a very familiar portion of Scripture to us. And then I want to tell you where I'm going with this short thought for the evening. It's very short in some ways, but yet I think it's profound in other ways. The scripture I'm going to read to you this afternoon is where the angel appears unto Mary about Jesus' birth. Now, I know that Thursday's Thanksgiving, and I don't want to rush the season. I don't want to get Christmas here before it's time. But yet, it is that time of the year that we start thinking more about the birth of Christ, and I'll talk a little bit about that in just a few minutes. But in the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse number 26, in the sixth month, angel Gabriel was sent from God unto the city of Galilee, named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, "Hail, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women." And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, "Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end." Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived and a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren." Verse 37, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto thee, me, according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Stretch your hands this way. Father, I thank you, God, even now, for the time that you've given us here, even now, to come into your house and to share what I believe tonight, Lord, that you've laid into my heart. I pray, O Heavenly Father, God, that as we share the word of the Lord this evening, that it would go forth. And it would accomplish that, O God, that you would have it to accomplish. And Father, we thank you, God, even now, that your Holy Spirit is with us even now. Oh God, help us to see further than we've seen, and help us to do the things, God, that without you would be impossible. Father, I pray your blessings over every person in this room and those that's watching online this evening, and we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I guess if I had a title this evening, it would be Overcoming Life's Impossibilities. Life is filled with situations that appear to be impossible. This situation with Mary and Elizabeth, both of them, seem to be absolutely impossible. I got to be honest with you and tell you that this morning when I got out of bed, I did not know what I was going to preach tonight. I normally ponder on Tuesday and write notes and finish up on Wednesday. But Tuesday came pretty quick, didn't it? From Sunday. So we came over this morning for prayer meeting. For a while, I got here late, pending I had some things, duties at home to take care of. I told the group that was here today what a terrible night Sherry had had, and we were in the fellowship hall praying back there so we wouldn't have to heat this large room. And then one of the guys said, well, let's just pray right now. Well, that was Robert Shore. And we prayed. I told him I was on my way to Walgreens to get some Zicam or whatever that stuff's called, cough medicine. And I walked in there and got it. I'm not a shopper. I'm a go get it and get out. Horace is a shopper. They go and they look and they want to shop. I don't shop. I go get and get out. So I walked in and I was in and out within a minute and a half or 2 minutes. I knew exactly what I was looking for. So when I came out the door, there was an older car, just exactly like Raymond's. I mean, that car and his car was exactly the same. And on the front of that car, there was a tag that said these words that prompted these thoughts in my heart for the rest of this day. And these thoughts was, with God, nothing shall be impossible. And all of a sudden, there was something leaped on the inside of me. And at that moment, I knew what I was supposed to do this evening. Now, you may not look for signs like that. And somebody says, well, was that you or was that God? I think it was me and God. Because it took God speaking to my heart. But when I seen that tag on the front of that car, there was something inside of me that leaped. And I got a hold of it because it said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. Well, I've thought about that most of the day and scratched me out some outline. There's my outline. I scratched me out some notes for the evening. And I thought to myself, you know, when I think about the impossibility of God, there is a few things in the scripture that God says that he cannot do. And most of you can already tell me what the one main thing is that God cannot do. What is it? Lie. If you look in the book of Hebrews chapter number 6 and verse number 18, and you can go back and read this whole thing. But anyways, the middle part of that, and it talks about Abraham, and I'll get into that in a minute. But it talked about that by two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who had fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that set before us. But in this, it was a reminder, when you look in Hebrews 6 and 18, that it is impossible for God to lie. When we think about that, I was thinking about how that there had to be moments in time with individuals throughout the scripture that had such a situation that looked absolutely impossible at the moment. Now, I don't know about you, but I've had a lot of those things in my own life. When we look at situations and we think, there's no way. There's absolutely no way that this is going to work out. It's impossible for this to happen. And it's not going to happen. Now, my buddy Horace back here, in his good mannerisms and his faith that moves mountains, often comes to me and he says, hey, it's not over yet. And God and Horace will say to me, he says, hey, there's always hope. You know, and he encourages the preacher. You know, and I think about that because in situations that you and I deal with, now I don't know if you're anything like me, but there's times that I even kindly get down. Now don't fall out with me yet. I kindly look at the reality of what's in front of me, and sometimes the reality of what's in front of me says, you know, tells me a total different story. I can only imagine the heart of Abraham. I can only imagine the heart of a lady by the name of Sarah. You know the story better than I do. You've read it probably more than me. But I can only imagine what was going on in their life at that time when Abraham and Sarah both were well up in years and how that they were really having a very difficult time. And how that in the scripture we see this, of how that in the book of Genesis, we see this in chapter number 18. And you can actually read this, and it says that when, and they said unto him, where is Sarah thy wife? And he says, and he said, behold, in the tent, and he said, I will certainly return unto thee, and according to the time of life, lo, Sarah thy wife shall have a son. Now Sarah was already well up in years. I think Abraham was like 100 year old, and she was like way up in 75 or 80 year old, way up in there. And it said that in the time of life that she will have a son, which seems like an impossibility. And Sarah heard it in the tent door, which was behind him. And again, you can look at this and you can see where the Bible says in verse number 11. And Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age. I mean, to me, when I hear stuff like this, I hear past their abilities to do this. And if it was going to be God, it would certainly be God that gets it done. And then he says here in the Word, and again says, now Abraham and Sarah was old and well stricken in age, and it ceased with to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she was absolutely well past being able to bear children. And I'll leave that where it's at. Verse number 12, the Bible says that she responds back. And it says, therefore Sarah laughed within herself saying, after I am waxed old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also? In other words, talking about Abraham. Here Sarah is, here Abraham is. And both of them, and you know the story of how that Isaac was born later, but how that both of them dealt with this whole thing, that they were dealing with what looked like an impossibility. I don't know if anybody in the room has ever dealt with impossibilities, but I know for me, myself, there are situations in my own life from time to time that I would like to see it a whole lot different. And I know from my own experience, when my daddy got saved in September 23rd, 2006, you've heard my story, how that I could never imagine my daddy being any different than what he had always been. And I could not even imagine him being a saved man because of how he was when he was younger. And then I was there in the yard at my house, and the Lord said, why do you doubt that I am able to do? My daddy was saved after that. My son, I'm praying for my son. I'm praying for family members. I'm praying for others that need a good revelation of who Jesus Christ truly is. So that little sign outside that door on that Buick today was not just a sign for this message this evening, but it was a sign to me, with God, nothing shall be impossible. It's those little things in life. Even though Abraham and Sarah, no doubt in my mind, this was a big thing to them, because they were both plumb past the prime of their life, and there was no way this was going to happen. But how many of you know that God's still in the miracle working business? I was thinking about Deborah Shepherd coming to church. I was driving over and I began to think about Deborah Shepherd, the Shepherd family that comes. I began to think about her song, and I can't remember all the words to it, but she sung it right here on this stage several times. And in that song, the song says that there's a miracle in the making. Now just let me preach a while, because somewhere in my heart today, God sparked something in my heart today for me to believe that no matter what I'm looking at, no, I was going to come in here tonight, slip in, slip out, slump over and slide out, have a little prayer time and go to the house and enjoy Thanksgiving. But I seen that tag on that car today, and God sparked something in me and said, never, never stop doubting what I'm able to do. But and Deborah would sing that song, and she would sing that there's a miracle in the making. And I believe tonight that there's a miracle in the making for you and for myself. And you might be here tonight, and I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've done. But God is still a God of miracles. And those things that are impossible with man are possible with God. Somebody shout, I'm ready for my miracle. I'm ready for my impossibility. Amen. I believe if we would get a hold of that this evening, I believe that God would do exceedingly abundantly above all that we would ever ask or think, according to the power of God that worketh within us. And that's our faith. Abraham and Sarah was challenged at an impossibility. I don't know about you, but I've been there before. I've been challenged in impossibilities. There've been times we had nothing to do but just to hold on. But see, here's what the Word says. And the Lord said to Abraham, He said, "Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?" How many of you in this room, including myself, have been holding on to something? You've been holding on to a promise. Maybe God said something to you years ago. I know there was a Tuesday morning prayer meeting in Waynesville. Now, when I say Waynesville, I'm talking about over 18 years ago. Okay? I'm talking about a long time ago. But in a prayer meeting that time, in a Tuesday morning prayer meeting, just like we're having here, we would call it Triumphant Tuesday. But I was praying and I was begging God and I was saying, "God, when is the harvest going to come? When is the harvest going to come?" And the Lord spoke to my heart, and just bear with me tonight if you will. The Lord spoke to my heart on that Tuesday morning and said, "As surely as thou hast sown the seed, there will be a harvest." I was sitting in McDonald's parking lot in Hemby Bridge, North Carolina. The Joneses may know where Hemby Bridge is, being in the Monroe area down there for a while. I was praying over my own son back that many years ago, long time ago. You know what? God told me in Waynesville, "As surely as you have sown the seed, there will be a harvest." And I was in that McDonald's parking lot praying about that same thing, and God again spoke to my heart and said, "That is your seed, and you'll see him come home." And I'm believing that with everything within me tonight. Even though it looks impossible with me, and it is impossible with me, but those things that are impossible with me are possible with God. Abraham and Sarah could not do this without God's divine intervention. Now, I don't know about you, but we need God in the church today, and we need a divine intervention today, and we need God to do something that man cannot do and man cannot explain and that man cannot get the glory for, that all the glory belongs to God and God alone. And my friend, that's the kind of miracle I'm looking for tonight. That tag on that car said, "Nothing shall be impossible with God." I'm believing God. I'm believing God for a miracle. We see here in the word of the Lord again, when you look at this, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Abraham, Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, Shall I of a surety bear a child which is old?" Verse number 14 says this. It says, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Wow. Is anything too hard for the Lord? I could take a journey right now and go all the way throughout the Scripture. I could go to withered hands and blinded eyes and crippled feet and the dead on the bier of the coffin Jesus reached out. I could go to Jairus. I could go all throughout the Scripture. But the one that gets my mind more than anything this evening is just how I feel tonight. It's where that Jesus looked back at Peter. There was a great financial need in their life. They had to pay taxes. Taxes have been going on that many years. You know what I mean? We all deal with that. What did the Lord tell Peter? Just in a real paraphrase without turning over there and looking at it. He said, "Go look in the fish's mouth, and in the mouth will be the coin to pay your taxes." I'm sure to Peter that sounded a little bit off chart. But God uses those unusual things and those strange things. We call them in the New Testament, in the book of Acts, with signs and wonders. And it was through those signs and those wonders that the people was convinced that it was the hand of God. And I said all of that to say this. We've almost shut the church out as far as miracles and signs and wonders today. And people say, hey, it don't take that anymore. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. It still can happen. And if God wants to do it, God can still do it. Amen. But we see here the question. Again, when you look at this, and I want this to sink into our heart this evening, because it simply says, is anything too hard for the Lord? It says that right there in the Word. And then he says, at an appointed time, I will return unto thee, according to the time of Sarah, time of life, and Sarah shall have a son. And look at this. Then Sarah denied, saying, I didn't laugh, for she was afraid. And he said, nay, but thou did laugh. And God said, yes, you did. And Abraham did the very same thing that Sarah did. But you can read in the Word of the Lord, and you can read over in this, in the Scripture, and you can see the very fact of what the Bible says. If you look at this in Genesis 21, how many of you know the promises of God are yea and amen? It may take a little bit of time. Come on, somebody. We want an instantaneous move and an instantaneous fix. And I've said it many times over and over that we live in a microwave generation and we serve a crockpot God. Sometimes it takes God His timing, because His ways are different than ours. And if we've seen it every time, hey, God would never get the glory out of it. You would always say, I did that. I did that. It was me. I did that. A few days ago, again, I've said part of this the other day. I was having this debate with somebody. And it wasn't a matter of me having no faith in God. I got all the faith in God. God can do whatsoever He chooses to do. I think Jesus many times challenged them, because He said many times to them, oh, ye of little faith. The problem is not with God. The problem is with us. It's our faith. It ain't a problem. God can do whatsoever God so chooses to do. If He can hang the moon and put the stars in place and put oxygen in your little lungs as a little bitty baby, and you're still breathing that same very oxygen that you breathe when you was a little bitty baby, and God's kept you and me alive all these years. Hey, God can do these things. But we struggle sometimes with those things when it comes to us. You say, well, where's all this in Scripture? Sarah must have struggled in some ways when she looked at her physical person. She looked at what she had already been through, and she looked at the condition of her own personal body and everything, and she would go, you know what? It's okay for God to say that, but I just don't think it's going to happen. That's perfect. What's the word I'm looking for? That is a perfect environment for God to do what only God can do. When you and I get to the end of what we can do, then it sets up the situation for what God is able to do, and in all reality, what God wants to do. If you could do it, you'd be called God. If I could do it, I would be called God. So we've seen this shift in our culture today, where we try to humanize everything and we try to depend on humanity for everything. But there's some things that man can't do. We need God. So when we look at Sarah, we see this again in this chapter, and we see where that, again in Genesis 21, verse number 1, and the Lord visited Sarah as He said, and the Lord did unto Sarah as He had spoken. He did unto Sarah as He had spoken. I just wonder, I don't know this. I don't know this. I have no idea. Like I told you, I just got a little short outline, a few things to write down that I felt like God told me today. But I have to ask this, because it's just where we're at in the service. But I wonder how many people have heard from God somewhere in the past in your life, and God made you a promise, and you've not seen that promise come about yet. And somehow or another, you're holding on to that promise. And in God's time, and you believe that it will happen just exactly the way God said it would happen. I'm going to tell you something. I don't know who it is. I don't know who it's for. But I believe that God is saying that your wait and your tarry is almost here. It's almost time. Could you imagine Sarah waiting and tarrying for what seemed like an impossibility? But yet, in God's time, when it was time, that God took this barren woman and this barren old man, that it looked like they were past the prime of their life. It don't matter how old you are. You think, well, I'm not going to have no baby, these ladies. I ain't going to have no baby at my age. But isn't it amazing how that when you get old, you sort of, now this is me, you sort of kindly have a tendency to think that maybe this is not really going to happen in my lifetime, and I'm not really going to see it the way that I thought that it was going to be done. I remember my granny. My granny died at 94. I'm a product of my granny's prayers. I know that my granny, I couldn't walk in her house, and she said, son, you coming to church Sunday? I'd grumble under my breath, and I'd go with a smart-aleck attitude, but no. But you know what? There was a day the Holy Ghost got a hold of my heart. I was 18 years old, and my granny's prayers was answered. And from that day until she passed away, hey, I was my granny's biggest fan. Don't tell the rest of them if they're listening online, but I was her favorite grandchild. I don't know why. She said that to my Aunt Loretta. I don't know why at that time. But I was there. I had a special bond with her because of the relationship that I had with the Lord at that time with her. I'd go by and pick up her trash about every Monday or when I'd go by and do things for her. I tried to take care of her. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for elderly people, and I still do. I think y'all know that. I'm just hoping that when I get old that somebody will help take care of me. Come on, somebody. But my granny never quit praying for her grandchildren. My granny never quit praying for her children, for my uncle, and for other people. Her faith was amazing because she never gave up. Sarah, the Lord said unto Sarah, that God had done as he had spoken. Again, let me say this before I move on. You might feel like you're too old to see God do what God's told you that he's going to do. But God says that you're not too old. And God says even to Sarah, she thought she was too old. Abraham thought he was too old. But God brought it to pass. Hello, somebody. And he says here in the Word, and he says, for Sarah conceived and bare Abraham a son in his old age. At the set time which God had spoken to him. And then Abraham called the name of his son that was born unto him, whom Sarah bare to him, Isaac. Begin to think deeper about this and just making a few more little scratchy notes. I begin to think about how that this situation with Abraham and with Sarah was not the only situation in the scripture that looked like an impossibility. I mean, you see Mary, you see Abraham, you see Sarah, you see Elizabeth, you see all these different players on the field, and all of these folks depended on God for their miracle. But again, when you look at Isaiah prophesied that Jesus would be born. When you look at the scripture let me find it really, really quick. In Isaiah chapter 7, in verse number 14, it says this, of how that it was prophesied about that Jesus would come. Therefore, the Lord himself shall give you a sign. You're going to see this. It's going to happen. And behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. An impossibility. The text that I read to you this evening, how in the world did this happen? Mary never had a child. Mary, a virgin. How did all of this happen? God. God did it. Isaiah 9 and 6, again, picking up there, reading forward, it actually talks about this again, and it talks about how that Jesus would be born. And it gives us that scripture, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Bible says. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And we can give God a shout and an amen. For the impossible things of God are wonderful for you and I. Because with man, this would have not ever been possible. We cannot make our own miracles. Abraham proved that with Hagar and Ishmael. He made a mess of it. Even though God honored Ishmael and God honored Hagar to a degree, yet we see today that Isaac was the son of promise. When we look at the scripture again with the virgin birth, we look at this often in the book of Matthew chapter 1. We read these whole set of scriptures. What was impossible? It was because of an impossibility that you and I can stand here born again and saved today. The angel Gabriel showed up there, and we can see that. Let me read part of this. We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was this way, or on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused or engaged to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Now again, I'm not going to break that down. I'm not going to talk about it. I'm not going to wear it out tonight. But you can imagine Joseph there a little bit, couldn't you, guys? What is going on? What in the world is happening? And then we can see how that Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. And there's a lot of reasons for all that. You can go back and study that. She could have been stoned. She could have been killed. And that's why Joseph didn't want to bring her back out into the public, because of what the law had said. And like the woman caught in the very act of adultery, something horrible could have happened. But yet the angel showed up and spoke to Joseph and told him in verse number 20. And he says, and while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her. Could you imagine? It could have blown his mind, if I can use that terminology, of what he was going through. How in the world is this? Can I tell you what? You look in the scripture, and I remember Jim Boland talking about this years ago, where it says, with many signs and wonders in the New Testament church, when they began to see what God was doing in that New Testament church, it filled them with wonder. It filled them with amazement. It filled a lot of them with question. How can this be? Well, the only thing I can say this evening is this. You cannot explain God sometimes. I can't explain God much at all. I just read the Word and share the Word. God's the one that does the miracles. God's the one that brings the healing. I don't understand it. I was blowing leaves for a few minutes today. Just a few. I didn't do it long. But I was thinking to myself, how do you get up and you preach a message like this when you got people in the congregation that's sick, going through things? Janet, I was thinking about Artie today as I was blowing leaves and preaching this message like this, and thinking about those things that are impossible with man, they're possible with God. And I got to thinking, they are impossible to man. Man can't do it. Man can only do what man can do, and then we got to let God take over. And I was thinking as I was blowing them leaves today about my buddy Artie, with what he's going through, that I wish I could just wiggle my nose and make it all better, but I can't. But you know what? I don't have a problem believing God for his healing. Not at all. Because it's in God's hands. And Artie told me, he said, if God wants me healed, I'll be healed. And if God wants you healed, you'll be healed. But I don't understand. I don't understand. Maybe somebody more intelligent than me and can explain it to me. But I don't understand why some people are healed and some people are not healed. And then somebody says, well, everybody's healed. Well, they are. I mean, you get healed by doctors, you get healed by medicine, or you get healed in eternity, but you're still healed if you're a believer in Jesus. I just don't know the timing of God. I don't understand all of that. And I can't get up here and say, yea, I say unto thee that God is going to do this or God is going to do that. Because I don't know what God's going to do. I'm not God. But he is bound by his word. And in his word, he simply says, as this whole thing about Jesus, this whole thing about Elizabeth, this whole thing about Jesus, where Jesus was born there, comes back. And even with Elizabeth, where we took this text, it said that those things that are impossible with man is possible with God. So I'm just simply saying this evening. Don't lose your faith in God. Don't lose your hope in God. So here's two or three things. First of all, keep your belief in God and let Him do the impossible that we're believing for. Because in Hebrews 11 and 6, this is what He said. And He tells us this in the Word, because He says we have to believe in God. Hebrews 11, 6. You got that? If not, I'll go real fast through it. But without faith, it's impossible to please God. But without faith. But you know, we would challenge that into believing, because the Bible says, and I'm not going to turn there, but it says in Romans 12, I believe it is, along through there, He says that all people, all men have been given the measure of faith. We got a measure. We got the measure. I don't know how much the measure is, but we've got the measure of faith. We just have to believe God and let God do the supernatural. God does the miracle, not me. Now, let me just preach on here about 5 more minutes and I'll try to lock it down. I walked under condemnation for a long time. Because I would come to a prayer line and I'd pray for people, and they would leave there just as bad as they was when they came up for prayer. It's almost as if, what's the use in even praying for people if people ain't going to get no better? You know what I'm saying? But we do our part, anoint with oil, pray over them, and then the prayer of faith will heal the sick. Let God do His part. I don't always understand all that stuff, folks. I'll be honest with you. It's all up to God. So here's the Word. The Bible says, but without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. God is going to reward you because of your faith. Secondly is this. This goes back to what I just said. Know that our power is limited. Us. Humanity. God designed it that way. But you think about God, because God is omnipotent. And that is without loss of strength or power. Where the Bible says that He's the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Our motives must be pure before God, because it talks about this in the book of James, because he says that a lot of times when we come to God, that the reason that things are the way they are and prayers don't get answered the way that they should be answered, because the Bible says that we ask amiss. One of the things that we must do in the day and the hour that we're living in, we ask according to the will of God. Well, let me just share this with you really, really quick, because we wonder what the will of God is. It was God's will for Jesus to be born through the Virgin Mary. That's God's will. It was God's will for Abraham and Sarah to have Isaac. That was God's will. That impossibility. What about God's will? Really quick. We think about God's will. James again says that you ask for, with the wrong motive. And I think I wrote that down, if I can find it really quick. James 4, if this is the right scripture, verses 1 through 3 actually talks about that. I can't even find James 4. There it is, my finger was on it. Let me just go to verse number 3, because it says, you ask and receive not, because you ask amiss, and you may consume it upon your own lust. In other words, wrong motivation and wrong motives will always hinder a prayer answered by God, because you're not asking for God's will. Now let's think about that for just a minute or two. 1 John chapter 5. Let me turn there really, really quick. I got distracted a few times when I was studying today, and imagine that. And I had to go back and read these verses and try to get them put together. But we see this in 1 John chapter 5. Let me read that really, really fast. Verses number 14 and 15. This is what the word says. And he says, and this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything, here's the kicker, according to his will. I think this is one of the things that separates between whatsoever and anything and what's God's will. I don't always understand God's will. Do you? But I just have to trust him. If we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. What is the will of God? The will of God is the heart of God, the desire of God. Well, I'm fixing to lay something heavy on you because of what he says. And this is the disciples' prayer, or the Lord's prayer, if you will, over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 6, a few verses of scripture there. And we've read these many times over and over. Matthew chapter 6, and we look at this and we read the Lord's prayer, the disciples' prayer. And he opens this up in verse number 9, and he says, after this manner, therefore, pray, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So what God is doing in heaven, God desires to be done on earth. Nothing shall be impossible to God. If he's God in heaven, he's God on earth. And whatsoever things are done according to his will be done. I was thinking, again, we talk about the unseen miracles of God, the unseen hand of God. How many of us, if it wasn't for the miracle hand of God, we wouldn't be here right now? Charlotte, do you mind if I point you out? I hope not. What has it been? Has it been 5 years? Has it been 5 years since you had a stroke? So it's been almost six years already. Charlotte went through a whole lot of stuff. But in a short period of time, we were actually in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, doing mission work. He had to fly home for Charlotte because they told him he better get home if he wanted to see her, basically. And then the doctor came back later and said, you should be, am I telling it right? You should be dead, or you shouldn't be able to even do anything right now, because the stroke you had is one of the worst kinds and it normally takes people out. I'm glad you can see me. Kathy, I don't want to point Kathy out, but I can't explain. And the same thing basically was told to her a few months back, or a month and a half. So God's looking out for us. Even when we should have been in the accident. I think I told you this one time in the past. Let me tell it to you again. Darryl, you'll get a kick out of this. Back in the 90s, I worked for Pepsi. Late 80s, middle 80s, the late 80s into the 90s. So we had left the warehouse, and I had a full load of soft drinks, Pepsi Colas, headed from Asheville to Brevard. And I was on Hendersonville Road, I think it was, Old Asheville Highway. Car bowed up in front of me. And I hit the brake, and Darryl, there wasn't no brake there. Air brakes, there wasn't no brake there. None. I mean, I had pedal, but I didn't have no brake. Nothing was stopping. So it was D-Day. So I veered to the right in that truck, fully loaded, went off the road. There was a concrete road sign right there on the side of the road. And I went off the road, and come back around, went back on the road, looked in the mirror, and the road sign was still there. And I hardly as much as felt that truck rock. and got back out on the highway, and I wondered, what just happened? I went probably from here to the end of the parking lot going that way. I put my foot on the brake, and Daryl, I was so shook up that my foot on the brake was going on them air brakes. I was so tore all to pieces. And I thought at that point, that was nothing more but the hand of God. I couldn't have done that. It was impossible for me to have done that. And there's things in your life, in my life, there was things in Abraham's life, Sarah's life, that if we had to take a pen and pencil and write it down and say, this happened this way for this reason, we could not do that. It was just God. It was just God and God alone. Those things that are impossible with man is possible with God. I don't know where you're at tonight. I don't know why you're here, what you're looking for. I can't fix it. We had that conversation earlier today as well. Sister Dalma was my cheerleader this morning. I can't fix it. We just got to leave it with God. I don't know about you, but I didn't know where that was coming from for a minute, Jody. Throwed me off. I don't know what you're looking for. I don't know. But I can trust him more tonight. Janice, and I'll tell you something a little bit later, but not right now. Because of that little sign that is on front of that car today. Nothing shall be impossible with God. What do you believe in God for? What do you need in your life tonight? I don't know about you, but there's things that I really do need God to do. And if you don't need God for anything tonight, you're one blessed person. But you know what? Tomorrow morning, you wake up, it might be a different story. Because somewhere in all of our lives, somewhere along the way, we all are going to have God. And we're going to say to ourselves, God, I can't do this. This is absolutely out of my league. God, it's impossible for me to do this. And God says, I've got it. I'm believing for that tonight. For the impossible that God wants to do. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. God wants to show up. If he's in heaven, he wants to show up on earth. Why don't we stand together? Father, we thank you. Father, I thank you, O God, even now for thy word is truth. And thy word will not return void. And Father God, you said in the word that those things that are impossible with man. Because God, your ability is limitless. And you're a God that cannot lie. Then the things that you said in the word, O God, will come to pass. Father, I thank you even now. As your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed on this Tuesday evening, I want to ask you a question. In this room tonight. And Father, you see every hand that's raised. You see every heart. You see every mind. You see every person. You see everything they're dealing with tonight. And Father, you said in your word that we can bring all of our burdens to you and we can cast all of our care upon you. For God, you careth for us. And Father, these things that we deal with, these things that we wrestle with, these things that seem to be impossible, these things that seem to be absolutely beyond our comprehension and beyond our control and beyond our abilities to do anything about it. It is the perfect scenario for you to do something with it, God. So, Father, we pray, God, around this room with every hand that's raised that represents a need and it represents something, God. We pray for Sandy tonight, God, for Sandra Overman. God, she's battled so much with her legs and now with her kidneys and now on dialysis and DaVita, God. All these things that people are dealing with, it seems so impossible. God, they're possible with you. And God, we ask you, oh God, even now to do a miracle, healing and do wonders and do something in their lives today, God, that's going to bring glory and honor to your name. And Father, we love you and we honor and praise you. Would you just lift up your hand and would you just say these simple little words? Lord, I believe you in spite of what my circumstances are telling me. One more time. Lord, I believe you in spite of what my circumstances are telling me. And Father, we ask you this. Go before us. God, go before us even right now. God, is the disciples was there and they said, Lord, I believe, but help thou mine unbelief. And God, whoever may be struggling with unbelief, God, help us with that this evening. And Lord, I give you all the praise and the glory and all the honor. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. 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 Look at your neighbor and say, I believe.